To welcome you all to the house of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you. I think we have a new musical group, the Carnahan Crew, and it was such a joy to hear you sing. And if you're like me, I was singing along with them, and I sensed that most everyone in the room was singing with them. And so what a beautiful way to start our worship. I hope you're all enjoying this fall season. Yesterday I had the privilege of replacing a pair of exterior doors, and they were full glass doors. And you know how you envision how things are supposed to work out. As I was replacing these glass doors, I had to navigate down half a flight of steps outside. And as I began to do that, I overestimated my own strength. And that was a very heavy set of doors, and it started to tip over, and there wasn't anything I could do. And there was a direct hit to one of the glass panels on the corner of our retaining wall. And you heard the sound of shattered glass throughout the neighborhood. And you know how when those things happen, it's like in slow motion, but you can't do anything about it. And so then I stood there in shock, and I looked around, and of course, you want to see if anybody saw it. And I guess nobody saw it. Nobody came running. But there was no way to hide it. Fortunately, it was the old set of doors and not the new set. But, you know, as well thought out as our plans are, our life is full of plans that don't necessarily go according to the way we think. And when they don't, we want to kind of keep those things to ourselves. And we don't want to be embarrassed for decisions that we've made or things that have gone wrong. And yet, you know, the Lord is always merciful. He gets no pleasure in seeing us in situations that we're ashamed of and are embarrassed about, whether it's innocent or whether it's our own choices. And so He is always inviting us to come unto Him, and that He wants us to come unto Him, and He will give us rest and comfort. So my prayer is this morning that we will come together and unite as one, and to seek our Lord and to seek His will in our lives. And for a call to worship, I'd like to read two passages of Scripture. First one is Alma chapter 15, verse 53. Yea, I would declare unto every soul, as with the voice of thunder, repentance, and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth. And from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 13, sing, O heavens, And be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Let us turn to hymn number 464, and we will stand for this. And we will have a prayer by Brother Deacon Enoch Carnahan after the singing of this hymn.
Our Father, thank you for this morning, also being able to be here and worship Thee, and invite Your Spirit to be with us this morning as our brother Tom speaks, that He might give those words which You would have Him to give, and that we all might, souls might be nourished and strengthened in those words, and our minds might be enlightened. And I ask Thee in Thy most holy name, even Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I wasn't always in the church. I was raised outside. Several who was taken to church by neighbors and a couple different denominations. So I didn't grow up in the church. I was basically married into it. And it's been a very learning experience. One of those experiences is giving. And I've been blessed with the fact that as we get older, it gets easier to give. You know, where everything comes from, it comes from God. You didn't get it. He gave it to you. And it's made it even easier to give back. And I thank Him for all this. And I know that you have had some of these thoughts too. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You at this time thanking You for all things, for all that You have given us in our lives and our foundations. May we give back and be able to give to some of those that's in need. We know that times are dictating to us that they are growing faster. Again, bless us and thank You for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
I extend our brother's greeting to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. For the scripture reading, I'll be reading three short verses, starting with Moroni 10:15. It says, "Wherefore there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope. If there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God." In Ether 5:29 it says, "Behold, I show unto the Gentiles their weakness. And I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me a fountain of all righteousness." And then 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 187, "And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of these words.
Mm-hmm. off the coals from our garments and arise in the strength of our Lord. Let us break up the yoke of our bondage and be free in the joy of the word. For the pebble has dropped in the water and the waves circle round with a shock. Shall we anchor our marks in the center or drift out and be wrecked on the rock? Let us wake in our songs in the morning and let them at noontide resound. Then the evening shall find us rejoicing while the law in our hearts will be found. For the Lord is remembering Zion and bringing her comfort once more. Shall we anchor our marks in the center or drift out and be wrecked on the shore? Thank the Lord for the plan He has given that will render us pure as a child, that will change this whole world into heaven by His Spirit so holy and mild. And the hope of a portion in Zion shall cheer us till trials are o'er. Let us anchor our marks in the center and be safe from the rocks on the shore.
Leslie had asked us about doing the special music, and I said, well, I've never stood up in front of the church and sang before. So I asked the boys if they wanted to do that, and they said they were willing to. And so anyway, that's what brings us up front here to share with you in song this morning. This subject that I've chose, I've kind of wanted to share on Zion and the need for Zion, the holy city that is promised unto us. And it's interesting to me that one of the things that we need the most in this world right now, it's interesting because I've listened to some speakers that speak on self-development and business and so forth, and they talk about the freedom of this country and the freedom that we have in this nation, and no other nation has that same freedom and those same privileges. And that people don't just say, if I could just get to Cuba, everything would be all right. Or if I just could get to Iran, it'll be good. No, they say, if I could just get to the United States. You know, and that's their goal and that's their desire. And there's been many foreigners come to this country who have become extremely successful because they recognize the freedoms of this land. And they take advantage of that, and they've prospered very much so. And it's because of the constitution of this land, and we know is that God had set up this constitution by the hands of wise men. It tells us that in the Doctrine and Covenants, the Constitution of the United States. But as our country goes the way of the rest of the world, possibly we can see that all around us in the media and the things that are taking place, and it's very sad and disappointing, but we know there's a greater blessing around the corner in the city of God, the kingdom of God, Zion. And, you know, as we see the different things that they want to do, and I don't want to dwell on this too much, but like, for instance, section 45:13a talks about peace being taken from off the earth. And when you look at the fact that there's groups out there that want to defund the police, and it's not just defunding the police, it's defunding and getting rid of law and order completely is what I believe is what it is. And then, of course, the mass immigration at the border. I understand they said there was close to 400,000 people that came through the southern border last month. That's a lot of people. And if this continues, our country is is in getting more and more burdened by these things. Of course, a lot of the different agendas that are out there, socialism, communism, and taking away our rights and our freedoms. And so if Zion, or the United States, goes the way of the rest of the world at some point, the only hope we have left, of course, is Christ and the holy city, even Zion, which we know will be set up as an ensign to the world for the nations to come and learn of her ways. And that's why I picked these scriptures, because I feel in order to have Zion, we have to have what it says here. And of course, the process of the gospel of faith and repentance and so forth brings us to what it says here, you know, wherefore there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except we have charity, then we cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And in section 187, or verse 187 that I read in my opening as well, and blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we need to build Zion. We need that gift and power of the Holy Ghost. And then, of course, in Ether 529, it says that faith, hope, and charity bringeth forth a fountain of all righteousness. And I love that it describes it as that, a fountain. When I think of a fountain, I think of water flowing up and spreading all over the place. And that fountain of righteousness comes from the Holy Ghost. It comes from that Spirit of God as we exercise our faith and begin to live our lives according to that faith, and we humble ourselves in the depths of humility, and we draw close to our Lord, that we will have this Spirit. Along also with that, I have Galatians 5, 22 through 25, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, because it's the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, you're within the law of that Spirit. You become the, through the Spirit, justified, as it says, by our faith. But if we look at Moroni chapter 7, it says, "And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity." Now notice here it says, meek and lowly in heart, and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost. So this charity, this pure love of Christ, which is described here in the Book of Mormon, comes from the Holy Ghost. It comes from our walk of faith as we put our faith and trust in the Lord. And this whole chapter 7 is, I've covered this before and I felt led to preach this morning. I actually had something completely different planned to preach and share with you today. And I had a very busy week. We were down two pilots at work, and I ended up flying a lot. So the preparation that I wanted to put in this, I didn't quite have the time to do so. But this last night and this morning, I felt led to go this direction again and share on this subject. But this pure love of Christ, and we're going to need this pure love of Christ within us, brothers and sisters, to establish Zion. We're going to need it for one another. And we're going to need it for the things that we face, that we will be facing in the world that we're living in, and how it's changing so quickly. And we need it for these reasons. It says, "And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity," and here it says again, "you're nothing, for charity never faileth." And so this charity is something that we need for sure in the future, and what we will face for the coming forth of the kingdom. As we look at 1 Nephi chapter 3, First Nephi chapter 3 is an excellent book. It kind of outlines the history of what has taken place in the United States, the pilgrims coming, the mother Gentiles warring against this nation when it becomes a nation, And it talks about the foundation of a great church, which it calls a great and abominable church. And then it talks about how the record of the Jews, which we know today as the Bible, and how many plain and precious things were removed from the record of the Jews, and how it was brought with the early Gentiles that came to this land, or as we know, the pilgrims. And it had many plain and precious parts removed from that book. And it says because of that, many people stumble and they don't recognize the truth that we have here and that we have accepted. And that it talks about eventually there'll be a great war. And of course, we know that there was the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. But there's still, what I understand to be one more great conflict in the process of time when Zion is established. And it talks about that here in 2:29. It says, "And it came to pass that I beheld a great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of the earth among all nations of the Gentiles to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord who were scattered upon all the face of the earth." Now, isn't that our condition? I think it's so telling how this is being fulfilled right before our eyes, that we are scattered. We have saints all over the world in many different places. Of course, you know, I'm from Canada and I have family up there. And the assault on Christianity and Christians in general is very evident today in our society. And you're all familiar with that. You see it, I'm sure. It says, "And it came to pass that I beheld..." And they were armed with righteousness. This is talking about the saints. "And with power of God and great glory. And it came to pass that I beheld that the wrath of God was poured out upon the great and abominable church, insomuch there were wars and rumors of wars among all nations and kindreds of the earth." And so we see that. And that's a tremendous promise unto us, that the Lord will be with us and He will bless us throughout this process. And as we have these spiritual experiences through the Holy Ghost, we experience what's called a regeneration in our hearts and our minds. This Holy Ghost enlightens us. I don't know about you, but whenever I've been in the presence of the Spirit of the Lord and it's been a wonderful experience, I feel new. I feel clean. I feel I have a new zeal and excitement. You know, we have retreats and reunions for these types of things. And I just feel a whole lot different. Even services that I've had here and been involved with here, where the Lord has blessed me and ministered to me, I feel renewed. And so we need this. We know that the Lord in these last days has provided this avenue. And through this process, through the experiencing of these spiritual experiences that come, it helps us to change, to begin to change more, to be more like Christ and have more of a Christ-like nature. Because as we know, our natures are, as it says in Scripture, we're carnal, sensual, and devilish by nature. And that we have to experience this change of heart, which we will experience when we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. But in this Scripture where it says faith, hope, and charity, did you ever wonder why it goes in that order, faith, hope, and charity? Why that sequence? And that sequence is important. But I believe in Moroni that chapter 8, verse 29, he explains the reason for that order. Mormon is speaking here to Moroni. It says, "And the first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments." And so when we begin to believe and exercise our faith, we're led to recognize that we need to be baptized. And so that's what it's talking about here, and that the baptism is a fulfilling of the commandment, and it's the beginning of the fulfilling of those commandments, because we know that there are other commandments that we comply with in the faith, and even that of a sacrament, we have that as well, fulfilling of that commandment. Where we partake of the sacrament, we promise to remember Him, keep His commandments, and that He will send His Spirit to be with us. Fulfilling of the commandments. In the fulfilling of the commandments, it says,
I love the description here. It says, bringeth a remission of sins. Okay, and so our sins, we start to see that we receive that remission of sins. And it's fulfilling the commandments bringeth that, according to Mormon here in 29. It says, the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. I know that when I try to keep God's commandments and do the things that He has asked us to do, in my struggling with it, I see my weaknesses. I see where I fall short. And I feel like that's what this is saying here, that the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And I start to see where I fall short and where the Lord is my Savior and my Lord and my God. And He says, because of meekness and lowliness of heart, cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which we know that, as I just shared with you, that this charity, this pure love of Christ, comes from the Holy Ghost when it touches our lives, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, faith, hope, charity. What's that perfect love that we have in the description? Is charity, right? The pure love of Christ, with which love endureth. And I think this is interesting because the Lord brings us full circle right back to where He asks us to be, on our knees in prayer. He says, which comfort filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence under prayer. Isn't that amazing when you look at that full circle? It reminds me of what it says in the Doctrine and Covenants, His course is one eternal round. We are with God in the beginning and we'll be with God in the end. And it's the same thing here. It's that perfect of God. And it says, until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. And so, when all the saints shall dwell with God, I'm sure that's referring to in the afterlife, but I believe it's also referring to Zion, as we look forward to Zion being coming upon the earth. Because it says in Moroni 7:52, He says, wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is what? The pure love of Christ. And we've just read about that, and how that love endureth by diligence under prayer. And it says this charity endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And I ask the question, or I bring out here, it says, and whoso is found possessed of it. You know, movies today show a lot of things about being possessed of a spirit, but not of the Spirit of God. But this is talking about being possessed of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God in a way that brings us closer to Christ. And it says, and it shall be well with them. And He said, and then again, this is another confirming scripture to what I just shared with you about the prayer. Bring us back to the beginning, which we're always to be exercising our faith and on our knees, asking the Lord for His help, His guidance and direction. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart, that you may be filled with this love which He has bestowed upon all who are the true followers of His Son, Jesus Christ. So to be a true follower of His Son, Jesus Christ, He's sharing with us this process of how this takes place. That you may become the sons of God, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as He is pure. We have examples throughout the Scriptures of men that were of this caliber who understood this. One that I'd like to refer to is our brother Moroni, Captain Moroni, who in Alma 21, 132 through 141, it gives a good description of him there and why he was the type of man that he was. It says, and Moroni was a strong and mighty man. He was a man of perfect understanding, yea, a man that did not delight in bloodshed, a man whose soul did joy in the liberty and the freedom of his country and his brethren from bondage and slavery, yea, a man whose heart did swell with thanksgiving to his God for the many privileges and blessings which he bestowed upon his people, a man who did labor exceedingly for the welfare and safety of his people, yea, a man who was firm in the faith of Christ
and he had sworn with an oath to defend the people, his rights, and his country and his religion, even to the loss of his blood. Moroni was willing to lay it all on the line for this gospel, and we need to be able to do the same for Zion. And we don't know exactly what that would mean for us, but for him, he was the captain of the armies, and that's what he was willing to do. It says, "Now the Nephites were taught to defend themselves against their enemies, even to the shedding of blood, if it were necessary. Yea, and they were also taught never to give offense. Yea, and never to raise a sword, except it were against an enemy, except it were to preserve their lives." So they didn't believe in war just to go out and have war. It was to protect themselves. And their faith, and this was their faith, that by so doing, God would prosper them in the land. Or in other words, if they were faithful in keeping the commandments of God, that he would prosper them in the land, yea, warn them to flee to prepare for war according to their danger. And also God would make it known unto them whether they should go to defend themselves against their enemies, and by so doing, the Lord would deliver them. And this was the faith of Moroni. And his heart did glory in it, and not in the shedding of blood, but in doing good, in preserving his people, yea, in keeping the commandments of God, yea, and resisting iniquity. Yea, verily, verily, I say unto you, if all men had been and were, and ever would be, like unto Moroni, behold, the very powers of hell would have been shaken forever. Yea, the devil would never have power over the hearts of the children of men. And of course it goes on to mention that Ammon and Mosiah and many other men were like unto him. So we have that example. And then I wanted to close with a prayer that Nephi gives in 2 Nephi chapter 3. And I feel like this is a prayer that we would, as a people, could offer in the time in which we live and maybe the times that are before us. But when I read these words, it's like a psalm unto me, like David gives. But he says, "For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted." So this is a man that has experience with the Lord. He's had that charity. And he still struggles with the sins of his life, the sins of the flesh. He says, "My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he has preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies unto causing them to quake. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge and visions in the night time. And by day I have waxed bold in mighty prayer unto him. Yea, my voice I have sent up on high, and angels have come down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I had seen so great things in the Lord, in his condescension unto the children of men, hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep, and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to the temptations that the evil one will have placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of my enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God and my rock and my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because of my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut up the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me in the robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldst clear my way before me, and hedge up not my way, but the ways of mine enemy? O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, and cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give to him liberally that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. And so I feel like he's a good example for us in how when we may be faced with different things that come down the road in the future, would call upon the Lord and pour out our hearts unto him. And then, of course, when I think of praying unto the Lord with all energy of heart, as it says in Moroni, it makes me think of a few other things that what's the Lord tell us the two great commandments are? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, and I feel like to pray unto the Lord with all energy of heart would fit into that as well. And it talks about, as I read earlier, being purified and sanctified as we go through this process. And he says in Moroni chapter 10, he says, "Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength." Have you heard that before? Two great commandments. Love the first one. "Then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God." And brothers and sisters, we're going to need that power of God. We're going to need that love of Christ for what we will face in the future. We're going to need his blessings. We're going to need his angelic presence. And we're going to need the endowment at some point. I don't know when that's going to happen, but we know that's a promise unto us. And it says, continuing here, it says, "And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, under the remission of your sins, that you may become holy without spot." So, in closing, Zion is, and the Lord, of course, returning is a great promise that we want to lay claim to, look forward to, and I pray that you will all be there, and I pray that I will be able to be there when the Lord comes, that I'll be have lived my life accordingly, and that and look forward to that great blessing of Zion upon the earth, because there, once the this country goes the way of the world, there won't be any other place for safety or rescue. There's a scripture that says man must needs flee to Zion or take up his sword against his neighbor. And you can see if we get to the point where law and order crumbles and falls apart, Zion will be the only place for safety. Zion will be the only place for refuge. And so it's my desire to share with you this morning that importance. You know that Zion's important. You know that look forward to that holy city. And it's interesting in these last days we've had, since I've come to this area from Canada, I've learned a lot from being here. I've seen a lot go on in the restoration, which has been heartbreaking. see men leave the faith that were I looked up to, see organizations that spring up that really hasn't brought any more unity and harmony, which was the purpose of their mission in the first place, what they were establishing to do. And it seems like the only way that this is going to happen is by the Spirit of God and the love of God within our hearts, that pure love of Christ. And so I appreciate your attention, and I hope that with what I shared with you this morning has been worthy of your attention, and I thank you for your support and your prayerful prayers.
Thank you, Tom. Certainly appreciate that message, and I think we would all do well in the days ahead to exercise great faith and hope and charity. And I want to thank all the Carnahans for doing double duty today, and hope you get some well-deserved rest this afternoon. So in closing, we will stand and sing hymn number 201, Redeemer of Israel. Hymn number 201.
Dear and gracious, loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Spirit being with us this day and for the message that was given to us. We ask for Thy Spirit to continue to abide with us throughout this day, that we may continue to keep Thy Sabbath day holy and to feel Thy love and blessings upon us. We ask for Thy continual blessing and support through us throughout the week, that we may continue to do Thy will in all things. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you.